Hello and welcome back to The Reducer, the worst podcast you listen to, and without doubt, the worst footballing podcast that you've ever heard. What are you doing here? Why are you back, you fool? Anyway, it's a full side today, no injuries, everybody fully fit. With me, Howard Smith Leeds scum, is financial doping king, Man City fan, Dave Rothney.
Hello.
Obviously, you're not financial doping king, you know, Man City are.
That's
And
right.
Liverpool scum, Dave Klein.
Hello.
Oh dear, that's the sound of somebody who really realizes that they should have gone in at half time about 17 nil up. But there you
The
go.
game's up. It's done. Done and dusted.
That was pivotal. We're rolling straight in here, folks. That was pivotal, really, wasn't it? That first half. And your profligacy, if that is a word, in front of goal, your Darwin Nunez's, you know,
Yeah, Mo Salah's.
your Mo Salah's with one foot, your who's the guy who scored?
Diaz.
David Luiz. They're all Davids.
No, Luis Diaz.
Oh yeah, Luis Diaz, David
David
Luiz. No,
Luiz.
you're David Luiz. That's fucking Sideshow Bob, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, tell us about it. 17 shots on goal to nil in the first half.
Well, it's been coming, hasn't it? Everyone's been saying you've got to be more clinical in front of goal, and it's like, well, when's that going to happen? Well, against Man United, of course. I think it's up. I mean, I've had a discussion with a few Liverpool fans, and it's like this. If we kept winning and won all our remaining games, we'd have won. Now we are reliant on both Arsenal and Manchester City dropping points, whilst at the same time us carrying on winning and not dropping any more points. The likelihood of us not dropping any more points is unlikely, whereas both Manchester City and Arsenal having a bad spell, I just think it's over. It's up. It will be City or Arsenal who will win the league. Liverpool are done. Can't see it. Cannot see it. Discuss.
I suspect there's a little bit of self-protection going on there. I think you're
No, not
definitely
at
not.
all. You know me. You know me.
No, I know you, and that's why I'm saying this. I think there's a bit of self-protection going on there. That's a stance that manages to, you know, shut down your emotions. You're not going to dare to dream. Hope, it's the hope that kills you. So you're cutting that off and going, right, we're done.
I've moved on.
And you know, and then if we do win, it'll be a surprise. But you know, you're preparing.
We'll probably win the. We could well win the Europa League now, which will be. Yeah, it's not the same, is it? But it's something, you know. Winning trophies is great, and you know, I was very happy when we won the Carabao, and it's like Newcastle would give their left arm and leg.
Oh, Eddie Howe would give his head.
Yeah, I'll give his head to win anything. So, you know, I'm not underestimating it. I still have conversations though, with people who are going, oh, Arsenal are going to slip up. It's like, when? When are they going to slip up? They've learnt. They have learnt.
Says Mr. Never Predict. Mr. Never Predict predicts that two teams are not going to lose any games and that his team are not going to be able to come
They
back.
have gone beyond when they should have slipped up. We're now, what is it, 5 weeks away from the end of the season? Can't see it. Cannot
You
see it.
cannot predict, Dave. You cannot
I know,
predict your
but
words.
my what I'm saying, sorry, Dave, you will get a look in here in a minute. It's I can't see both City and Arsenal slipping up, and at the same time, I can't see us not dropping more points. So that's why, if I don't know what the stats would be on that in terms of mathematically what the odds are on us winning. I don't know. I think Opta did though. I think they went Liverpool were on 44% or something, and they draw after the Man United result. They went down to about 23% or something. 23% chance of winning the league.
I've got a problem with the Opta who's going to win the league computer, right? Because the thing with that, I mean, you know, Opta's great, stats, good things, people. You need to stop with the win the league predictor, because basically what happens is after every game, it changes. And it's like, well, hang on. Like that's it's that you may as well just have a person doing it. Yes, what a surprise. You can't predict who's going to win the league, not even with stats. So anyway, no skin in the game. You're Liverpool, you're not going to win. Rotha's your City. What's your shout?
Well, back in about sort of November, I said City had finished third, and I sort of thought Arsenal were going to win the league, and then I got a bit distracted by the Klopp resignation and farewell tour, and I started to believe in the narrative that there's going to be some sort of fairy tale finish for Klopp, and that
Such a special club
his
with a
force of
special
personality would carry
manager.
him over. And now I'm back to where I started. That I think Arsenal have got the edge, but to the point, right? The very fact that 2 weeks ago, I think we were saying Liverpool are going to win it. Arsenal were out. It's between Liverpool and City, and then it's kind of the one thing I want to say is about City is we won the treble last year. Just wanted to bring that up again. But I mean, it's hard to, and we've not been as good this season. You know, we've not been. At it, there's not been this kind of invincible. There've been a few games where we've played like that, but we haven't beaten the top four. That's well known, and you just see us in games, and we're not as brilliant as we were last season. The best team in the league so far this season has been Arsenal. Now, does that mean they're now going to win the league? Well, the best team wins the league. So Arsenal, if they win the league, they will be the best team. And that sounds a stupid thing to say. But if you look at their run-in, they've still got to go to Tottenham. They've still got to go to Chelsea. They've got to play Man United, right? Those are three really winnable games for Arsenal, right? If they turn up the way they're playing, they could win all of those. But equally, to Howard's point, they could drop points in any and all of those games. They could lose to Tottenham. There's nothing Tottenham would love more than denying Arsenal the title. Anyway, there's a lot to go, as I'm saying. I don't think you can write anybody off of those three at the moment. Arsenal have got the edge, though.
Well, here's a fascinating stat for you. If you take out the COVID season, Arsenal haven't won at Old Trafford since 2006. So, yeah,
Wow.
yeah, exactly. But here's another stat for you, Mr. Stats. Sorry. In the last 10 games, Arsenal have conceded four shots on goal. They are scoring more than anybody else, and they're letting in fewer than anybody else. They are the best team in the league. All
Yeah,
the stats say they're the best
definitely.
team in the league, but there's
Definitely.
one stat that counts, and that's points. Their goal difference. They're 10 ahead of Liverpool and 11 ahead of Man City.
Yeah.
And to be fair, if you look at City, it's not the goal scoring exploits this season that seem to have a hangover from last season. It's defense.
Yeah.
Defensively, City have been conceding more goals, usually lead the way defensively. But Arsenal are clear, and they do look like the best team in the league. They, I mean, that they're and the way they went to Brighton and pulled them apart 3-0,
Yeah.
I could not see the current Liverpool side or the current Man City side going to Brighton and putting on a performance like that. But, and it's a big but, those games that you mentioned, Tottenham, Chelsea, Man United, nobody wants those in your running in your last few games. That's tough. And City have got the easiest running of the three. I think that I cannot see Liverpool, Arsenal, and Man City winning all their games. I can't see, I just can't see it. I think there's twists and turns to come. But the one thing you fall back on is that City are used to this. They're used to the pressure. Arsenal are carrying the,
Yeah.
we were 8 points clear this time last season.
Yeah.
Liverpool are carrying the fucking hell, Man United, really. And I think potentially the Klopp factor is now, it's now actually come full circle, and it's almost become a curse. It's not do it for the manager, it's we're not doing it for the manager, and that pressure and that guilt, if you like, is hanging over the club.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, one thing I did love on Match of the Day was Klopp's piece to camera when being interviewed. And he just looked down the lens and said, and now people are going to be saying, oh, this person should have done that. This should have person have done that. And he just looks down the lens and goes, that's not helpful. Is if it was, I'd do it. And then just carries on. And I just thought, I'm going to miss this guy. Who does a piece to camera? Who goes down the lens? No, that's just,
That's
you know,
so funny.
outrageous. Loved it.
But I think Arteta is a really good manager, and I think they've just got I don't think they're going to bottle it. But there are, to your point, loads of twists and turns potentially. I mean, right, we've got Real Madrid tonight, right? That's two legs, quarter final Champions League. If we get through that, and if Arsenal get through Bayern, then we're playing Arsenal in the semi final of the Champions League, right? Now, what impact is that going to have? I don't know which games have been played in the Premier League before or after those, but you're always going in with a weakened team. If it's a semi final of a Champions League, Pep's going to rotate. I mean, there's a lot of potential going on. But I mean, Arsenal, and Howard's right there about defence. I think it was George Graham that said defences win titles, and it's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. They've got the best defence. In Declan Rice, they've got, the best, I mean, along with Rodri. But I mean, Rice has been the difference this season, and not having the injuries to Saliba. I mean, they're the best. And that's my point about the best team in the league. If they can go to those places, I don't know if they're home and away to all these Tottenham, Chelsea, and Man U, but if they can win those games, then I take my hat off to them. If they now reel seven in a row, then they are champions, and they are totally vindicated. None of that is amusing because we like to talk about failure, but I don't, I mean, that's what I think. I don't think City have been at it, and anybody that watches football can see we've not been as good this
Well,
season.
it's hard, isn't it? To maintain that level. It's really difficult. You're always going to get. We had it. We had that dip. The year we nearly won the so-called quadruple, and we just the next season we were absolute dog shit. So it happens.
That was that was last season.
I'm just enjoying all things come to an end. It's just whether it ends in tragedy or something else. So I mean, this is, and we've got 115 charges coming up. So it's all coming to an end. So we'll see whether that's good or bad.
From the race for the Premier League title to the race for the promotion to the corrupt
Nice
Premier League,
link.
it's all change. One minute it's like, oh, everyone's going, Leeds are going to win the league, Leeds are going to win the league, and I always said, look, it's this, there's plenty to happen yet. We're third. And oh, are we third or are we second? Sorry, that's a bit poor on my behalf. Oh no, we are third. So Leicester, the Man City of the Championship, with their various infractions on PSR, profit and sustainability, as it's called in the Championship. Brilliant. The statement when they came out announced their losses under investigation. And their statement is brilliant. Basically, it reads like, we used to be really good and we had to spend a lot of money, and teams in the Premier League are really good, so we spend a lot of money. It turns out we spent too much. That's it. That's literally that. Oh, right. Okay. There's no mitigation in there.
No,
There's
no.
no, and they, if they go up, they're going to be starting with a big points deduction if the rules don't change, because there is, and this is just, I'm incredulous as regards this. There is talk that rules are going to be changed, not the rules around financial fair play, the punishments. Points are going to be taken away as a punishment, and it will just be fines. That's right. Clubs who've spent too much money are going to be fined more money for spending too much money. I'm in what fucking world Does that make any sense? But before we
It
before we
make it
go off
makes no
now, before we go
sense.
off on that tangent, before we go off on that tangent, Championship, Coventry, tough place to go at the moment, playing really well, operating a big man partnership up front. We got done on the break, we got done at a corner. Could have drawn, didn't. Ipswich, in the day, we had the Man United Liverpool game, and we also had, of course, the Farmyard Derby, which Ipswich lost, so it could have been worse. We lost, Ipswich lost. It put Leicester top of the pile. There's still, like the Premier League, there's more twists and turns to come. I've absolutely no idea what's going on there. You've got Real Madrid tonight, Rothers. We've got Sunderland. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. It really is. So that's Championship roundup, guys. I mean, it's not a great deal
But there's not much in
of
it, like you
insight there.
say. But there's not much in it. Leicester have got 88, Ipswich 87, Leeds 86. I mean, it's almost a sort of mirror of it's almost exactly the same as what's happening in the Premier League. You've got superior goal difference of 43. You and Leicester have both goal difference of 43, Ipswich 32. So that's worth a point too, yeah.
Ah, thank you so much for mentioning that, because that is a phrase I really have an issue with.
Good.
Because it's
Not
bollocks. Goal
when you win a league
difference.
on goal difference.
No, goal difference is not worth a point. Let me make it very clear. That phrase is bullshit. And
Come
here's the definitive argument. Yeah?
on then.
Leeds finish on 79 points. Leicester finish on 80. Where is the fucking worth a point, you cunts? Where is it?
No, it's when you're on the
No,
same number
so
of
it's not worth a point
points.
then. So it's not worth a point. It's
Well,
not
it
worth a point.
is.
If we're
If
on
you're both on
79
80
and
points and you've
Leicester
got
are on
better
80,
goals, you've
if
got
we're on
better kit.
79 and Leicester are on 80,
Well,
our
that's not
goal
the
difference is
argument.
not worth a point, is
No,
it?
that's not the argument. It's
No,
like
it's not worth
Liverpool
a point when you haven't got the point. No, you're right. Matt, yeah. So,
when
but
Arsenal won the league in 89,
I
they
know
went to
teams have won the
Liverpool,
league. Man City
they
won the
beat
league
Liverpool
on.
2-0. They needed two goals to win the goal, they win
Man
the
City won
league
the league
on
on goal
better
difference,
goals,
Dave.
goal
That's more
difference.
recent.
Yeah.
That's more. Yes, but it's not worth a point. It's only
Well,
it. No, it isn't, because if you finish one point
it
below,
is.
if you finish one
I
point
get you
below a
there. You've been
team,
quite
it's not
literal
worth a
there.
point, is it?
Yeah.
It's not worth a point.
That's not how it they that's
But
not how they
saying it's
apply
worth a
that's not
point,
how they apply it.
well, you see, there we go. And that's my problem. The statement in isolation is factually incorrect. It's your goal difference is worth a point if you finish
On the
tied
same
with
number of
another team
points.
on the same number of points,
Yeah,
which
that's
admittedly
it.
doesn't roll off the tongue quite as nicely.
That's why it's called goal difference. Yeah.
Yeah, or in this case, just like opinion difference. Speaking of which, who's not happy to see Everton losing more points?
Well, it's
Fuck
just,
them.
well, the problem with that is, it won't be applied till the end of the season. So if you,
It's been applied.
no,
No, it's being
sorry,
applied.
it won't, they're going to contest it
Yes.
in the summer. Sorry, that's what I meant. Sorry. They're
Yeah.
going to contest it. So it could get reversed in the summer. So if you finish below them and suddenly find
Yeah.
yourself,
Yeah.
sorry, you
Yeah.
finish above them, suddenly find yourself below them. That's just, anyway,
Yeah, no,
it's.
I mean, we totally agree on this. We've said this before. You can't have the Premier League turning into F1, where you've got the final table, and that's the result, and then the result changes due to a fucking steward's inquiry. It's
It's
bullshit.
bullshit,
But
yeah.
yes, but Everton, it's bullshit that Everton are going to contest a 2-point deduction. The best they can hope for is the 2-point deduction becomes a 1-point deduction. I don't see the Premier League backing down and giving 50% of the punishment away. Everton are
No.
appealing because they just assume that they can, that by the nature of having an appeal, that they'll get the fine reduced, that they'll get the finer points reduced. I don't think they will. I hope they don't. And I'm just sick and tired. The fans have done nothing wrong. Fucking Everton fans.
Why? That
Christ.
that's
They
irrelevant.
really don't understand the concept of points deductions.
Yeah,
Like
it's
they're the
nothing to do with the
first team
fans. They don't give
ever.
a fuck about the fans. It's the way the fucking club's been run.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just this constant bleating about how, oh, but we've done nothing wrong. Like points deductions are fucking decades old. We had
Yeah, but
15
it's
points
not about
taken
the
off us
fans.
in the early 2000s. Fuck's sake. It's just pathetic. Pathetic.
Football fans are fucking idiots.
My
Flat
my
Earth are fucking dickheads.
Rothers.
No, I like this idea that they're moving from points deductions to fines. That sounds like City's lawyers have got in their heads. I'd quite happily take a massive
Yeah,
fine as
a
opposed
massive
to
fine.
a points deduction and expulsion from the Premier League. I was sort of wondering what that season might
Man
look
City,
like.
Dave, sorry for to
Yeah.
interrupt. Manchester City are the fucking Donald Trump of the Premier League. You will never, ever be punished for fucking anything. There'll
I
be no pun.
disagree with that.
There'll be no punishment afforded to you at
Oh,
any
you
point.
can't get off with 115.
When's it gonna fucking happen? Well, it's like Trump on 91 fucking felonies. It's
You
like,
can't compare Donald
when
Trump
is
to
the
Man
cunt gonna go
City. Well,
to
you just
prison?
have. You just have.
Just have.
All right,
Man
then.
City are the Donald Trump of the Premier League. Discuss.
So Donald, well, it's not, yeah.
Is
Right.
that harsh?
Is it harsh? Well, it's funny, so I don't
It's
mind
funny.
it,
Well, that's good. That's good
but yeah,
then.
it's completely, it's a funny, it's funny. I mean, it's bollocks, but it's funny. I mean, one is an American president, the other is a football club. But I think, no, what's going to happen with City is, no, I'm just fascinated as to what's going to happen because we're not going to get off with 115 of them. So this idea that we're not going to have points deductions, just going to fine people, that sounds tailor-made for us. Just fine us
Yeah.
80 billion and we'll go, oh, check or bank transfer. How do you want that? Okay, here we go. Off we go again. But there is obviously the other thing is if we get done, we could get expelled from the Premier League. And because the Premier League is different to the Championship, there's no, it's not, we'll get relegated. We won't go from the Premier League to the Championship. We'll be in this suspended kind of bubble for a year. So I'm
National
just
League.
fascinated as to what we're going to do. So I imagine we'll probably just go on a series of tours around the world and just play friendlies and
Exhibition matches,
yeah, I mean it will be like we'll be exiled from football
yeah,
for a
the
year,
Harlem Globetrotters.
maybe more the Harlem Globetrotters of football than the Donald Trump of football.
You mean
I
the
don't know.
Haaland Globetrotters? Very
Haaland,
good,
yeah, very good.
that's it. Print
Well
those
done.
t-shirts. Yeah, that's exactly
Absolutely.
it. That's brilliant.
No,
Speaking
I
of
mean
which,
the analogy is
I know what the analogy
Donald
is.
Trump is I doubt he will ever go to prison for anything. And so I
Yeah,
was
but
just
he's
saying
actually
Man
broken the
City
law.
will
We've
never I can't see Man City being punished for anything.
for a
They
start, I
will
mean,
be.
Donald Trump has broken the law. We've not broken the law. We've broken some financial
You've broke
fair
some
play
rules.
regulations,
Yeah, yeah.
which
It,
I
it's
don't
a
agree
it's a
with
false
anyway.
equivalency,
But
and
yeah,
basically, ultimately,
for comic
City.
effect.
Yeah, I agree. City, but
No, it's funny.
City will face some kind of punishment.
Yeah.
What will happen is, basically, the Premier League and City will come to an arrangement, and City will, admit
An
X amount
arrangement.
of culpability, and it will be an out of court settlement because the Premier League can't afford to sit in court burning cash, and Man City can.
Yeah.
Also, the Premier League can't afford for this to just roll on and on and on. So eventually it will come to some sort of head. There'll be no points deductions. There'll be no getting thrown out of the league. But also the Premier League are a little bit wary because UEFA thought they had City banged to rights, and they didn't. And City were able to basically overturn the punishment, pay a small fine. So UEFA took them to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, CAS, and CAS found in City's favour. They didn't find entirely in City's favour, but they basically said UEFA have been overzealous and really basically, punished them for things they didn't do. So the Premier League, I think rightly, are treading lightly. And City are emboldened by the fact that they've already had that experience with the authorities. So hence their lack of working with the Premier League inquiry and deciding that, an adversarial relationship is better because it's worked for them once, it'll work for them again. So, the Premier League are basically left holding a baby that UEFA gave birth to, which is City will beat you on and off the pitch.
Maybe, but I mean, I think there'll be a big fine, a very big fine, and I think you'll see. I think they're all going to be given the equivalent of community service. So Guardiola's going to be, doing the bins down at Kenilworth Road. It's going to be
I think
various City players doing down Morrison's, in people's shopping.
helping.
That's
I
five
think
years,
punishment.
and
I
then
think
the
the big
Haaland Grove.
punishment as the big punishment on top of fines is going to be transfer embargoes, because that is where it really hits. That is when you have to end up absolutely fucked, so fucked you employ Frank Lampard as a manager.
True.
And that is where, because basically you can't even attract a top level manager because no one's coming in and going, I'll take this club over and this group of players and what I've just that's it, is it? That is this group of players and nothing.
Well, you're already onto something there because, I mean, it's a bit like the Klopp situation, is that already nobody wants to follow Guardiola, right? So you want to be the manager that follows Guardiola. Same thing with Klopp. Like Xabi Alonso has done exactly the right thing by saying he's going to stay where he is, and he's
And
not
then
going
go to Real
anywhere.
Madrid.
Well, I don't think Liverpool were first choice. He played for Real Madrid. That's where he wants to go.
Possibly, but
Well,
I
I mean,
mean.
that conversation, Liverpool have never said anything about it. That was all driven by fucking media and fans.
Yeah, but what have Liverpool said anything about? I mean, there's
Nothing
no
yet.
indication whatsoever of who they're going to go for.
Well,
No.
tentative talks with Amarin's agent, apparently. So.
But it's going to be a tricky one to follow, and that's the
Yeah.
day when it all falls apart for City. It's not falls apart, but it's less the kind of what the Premier League does, but it's that in tandem with Guardiola leaving City. I mean, that will be the big thing. It's a bit like Klopp. I mean, he's right in the sense that Liverpool are a massive club and you'll be fine, but there's going to be turbulence when he leaves because he's just, as you Howard was saying earlier, he's such a figure.
Absolutely.
And he's going to be missed in the same way that Guardiola, because Guardiola's still there on the touchline, fidgeting and flapping when we're 4-0 up. And by the way, Richard fucking Keys going on about when he was lecturing Grealish on the. You see, this is an interesting subject, actually. And I'm sure for me, it's an interesting subject because obviously it's my team, my manager, so I'm going to support him. But this idea that Guardiola plays for the cameras, with these kind of lecturing players on the pitch, it's like that should belong in the dressing room. Now, Howard might have a view because he's actually played the game, and that you shouldn't do that. But I don't know. There's a couple of things, and I'm biased towards Guardiola, but I also genuinely think that that's how he works. He sees something that's just happened, and I don't know about you, but in life, when I've been kind of picked up on stuff, if somebody tells you at the time, you know what you did just then. Don't do that again. Do this. You're going to remember it. Whereas if, it's 2 days later, having watched back the game and you're sitting in your office, you call in Jack then and say, oh, that bit on Saturday, don't do it like that. I also think, people said, it's sort of, he's done it for the cameras. Maybe he did, but he didn't do it in the way that Richard Keys thinks. He did it for the cameras in the way that, look what Grealish has done since then. I mean, he's played brilliantly twice, been picked, first picked twice, and played brilliantly twice. So if it was for the cameras,
Sorry, I
it was
missed what
done for a
Keyes
different
said.
reason.
What
He
did he
said, oh,
say?
it's tiresome. Guardiola's tiresome
Oh,
again,
fuck off.
having a go at Grealish on the
Twat.
pitch. Now you're going to go to the dressing room and tell all the other players what they've done wrong.
Fuck off,
And then
Keyes.
Guardiola gave that very, I mean, he gets a bit too sarcastic, Guardiola. He gets in his press conference after. He goes, yeah, it's all about me, by the way. Yeah, it's all about my ego. And when Erling does well, I get all the credit, sort of thing. So, but maybe that was the
Well,
moment.
my opinion on that is not so much actually about Guardiola at all. I don't think that is actually the debate. I think the debate is the media. And what sprung to mind as you were saying that, I hadn't heard these comments of Richard Keys, but what sprung to mind for me immediately was everybody banging on, yes, that's right, I went back decades. What sprung to mind was everybody banging on about Sven-Göran Eriksson being like a tailor's dummy on the sideline, and not doing anything and showing no emotion, and how terrible that is, and what a terrible message. And players want, and fans want to see a passionate manager on the sidelines, passionate manager communicating with the players. Oh, fucking stop that. It's all about him.
Yeah.
It's the media. It's the you can't win crew. So don't play the game. I mean, the thought that Guardiola is on the side of the pitch thinking about anything other than
what Richard Keys will
let's
think
beat
about
these
this
is just is just alien. Only somebody who knows nothing about football, who doesn't play it, who can't actually conceptualize the thought of the level of obsession that you need to have to be Guardiola or any of his players. You know, he's literally got absolute. In his press conference afterwards, people will be saying things to Guardiola about things he's done on the sidelines. That's the first he'll know about it. You know, they'll literally be, oh, you were blowing kisses to Kevin De Bruyne. First thought in his head when he hears that question was, fuck, was I? Oh, right, okay, I must have done because they're saying I did. Because he's in the moment. He's absolute, it's hyper-focus. At this fucking elite level, you have no business talking about how people comport themselves whilst they're at work. Richard Keys probably walks around scratching his nuts in the office. It's
like
and
this.
The fact there's not cameras there means that we can't all comment on how he behaves on the sidelines.
He does everything
job.
For camera. That's his job. So he's assuming that everyone else has the same fucking mentality.
Well, and he was fired by Sky for something he did off camera anyway, which was recorded. Yeah. So we know exactly how he behaves off camera because we saw it.
Are we definitely talking? So we well, you know, the thing about Keys and Gray, you know, we're talking about the basically the morally corrupt program that they beam out from you know, from the
Dubai.
From the Middle East somewhere. Yeah. And those two shills for Middle Eastern TV, it's absolutely hilarious. But the thing is, but Richard Keys has had a go at he's having a go at Guardiola. He has a go at Arteta for the same thing. Says Arteta's up to too much. He's the king of the over celebration police. And Andy Gray just sits there going, I mean, and also repeating the end of Richard Keys's sentence, which is something that annoys me. And we all know somebody when you speak to them, as you're speaking to them, they finish your sentence with you, and you're like you just want to put your hand over their mouth like a baby does, you know, in its early years. You just want to put your hand over their mouth and you're just like, just stop doing that, will you? Stop repeating what I say in the end of the sentence. That's Keys and Gray. It's it is quite embarrassing, but.
But this general question though, because Roy Keane has said it before as well. So not just people I don't respect like Richard Keys, but people whose opinion I do respect. You know, ex-pros say that have made comments like, "Oh, what Pep's doing? It's just for the cameras." And I just, well, I'm not sure it is. But I guess maybe
time
that's an
on.
Old school view. Yeah. I think you're right. Time moves on. And
It's basically, you know, Roy Keane, who last kicked a ball in anger, 20 years ago, is sat there going, oh, it's all for the cameras. Because he can't imagine seeing a manager doing that when he's playing. So this guy must be doing it for the cameras. And it's like, no, mate, this manager is the product of 20 years of the game that you have not been in. So that's how this situation, you know, arises. That's how this is, you know. I mean, Roy Keane, as we all know, you know, the prawn sandwich brigade and all the rest of it. Well, Roy, the entire stadium is full of prawn sandwich eating twats these days. So, you know, you're way, way out of date. Way out of date.
Totally.
It's the prawns that watch the game now. There's a whole there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's also you are seeing how rapidly out of date pundits become now.
Yes.
It happens so quickly because the game is moving so fast in a direction away from a game that these players remember. That's why Carragher and Neville are so good, because all they do is they pull apart performances and moves and formations, tactics, and that is something that has progressed, but you can study. What they don't do is comment on things like behavior at the side of the pitch, stuff like that. They tend to stick to what they know, which is quite an embarrassing thing to say, stay in your box kind of thing.
Objection.
Go on, Rothers. Oh yeah,
It
go on.
was wasn't it Carragher who told Arteta to get down the tunnel?
Oh
Wasn't it
yeah, fair
Carragher
play. Yeah.
that
Yeah, he's a bit,
accused Arteta of over celebrating? No.
yeah, no, you're right. You're right. He's
No, what they
part of the
do is good,
over-celebration police as
but I
well.
mean, he is part of the over celebration police. But
But I can't get on board with it. I really can't. Well, look, just to finish off with, the European footballing body, UEFA, are looking at increasing the size of the squads for the European Championship after basically consulting with I think countries who have qualified, and everybody coming back and saying we need COVID level of squads for the championship. And so it's being taken under advisement, and I fully expect the I think the word on the ground is that
Twenty-five,
they're going to expand the squads, possibly 26,
26.
and they are going to expand the squads. And I agree with this, partly because of the impact of VAR on the game, because it's rapidly becoming that players are spending, games are lasting longer. Injuries are increasing. Players stood around for long parts of the game waiting for decisions to be made is on the increase. And it's all in all, I'm a Leeds fan. I watched the championship, and we had one season in the Premier League with VAR, and it's almost forgotten about now. Oh, sorry, 2 seasons. And it's almost forgotten about now for me as a viewing experience, because I'm back in the real world of when the ball hits the net, you celebrate like fuck. And then I watch the Premier League, and the amount of VAR, the decisions that are that seem, wrong-headed, as it were. And I just think, I don't know, is this where we are? Because I just don't see, VAR, they're not putting the genie back in the bottle.
No.
They're not going to put any restrictions on it. They're not going to pull it back.
No.
It's going to be as is.
It's here to
I don't
stay.
I yeah, it's going to remain as it is. The only things that are going to change are possibly we're going to start informing fans in the stadium of what's going on a little better. And guess what? The players would like that as well, because players are sick of standing around not knowing what the fuck's going on.
Sorry, all good points, but what's that? What's the link between that and bigger squads at the Euros?
VAR, it's players out on the pitch for longer.
Waiting around,
Right.
cooling
More
down. Okay.
injuries.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
got you. Okay.
More injuries. You need a bigger squad to cope with it. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't see what's wrong with having a bigger squad at the Euros. I really don't. I really don't. Why not? I think, and
Yeah,
also I think you
true.
should I think you should be I think you should be allowed, like in cricket, I think if you've got a squad of 26, if a player breaks his leg, why should you be down to a squad of 25?
Yeah, it's true.
You should be able to call somebody in. I
Yeah.
really don't get what's. I mean, and let's be honest. If you're calling a player into the squad after like 2 games of the Euros, you're gonna be calling in somebody who's like, been on the beer for like at least a week.
Or the
Yeah,
beach, huh?
on a beach. I mean, yeah,
More
what's
likely
wrong?
the beach than the beer these
Yeah,
days.
why does
Well,
football insist on that's your squad and that's it? And if five of
yeah.
your players get food poisoning and are out, then tough. So why? Makes no
It's very, it
sense.
is odd, isn't it? That's a weird
Well, I
one.
guess
And
it's an
we seem to have just accepted it as well.
I suppose it's a rule. I don't know the last time this rule has been changed, but yeah, it's to your point earlier about things not moving with the times. I've no idea. Maybe it is. It's just a hangover from the old days where the same 11 played every week, and that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah.
So, Let's have a squad of what, would you have a limit on it at all, or just, let them ring it?
50 squad of 50.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
well, look, while we're talking about the Euros, yeah, squad of 50
Trent might get in the squad then.
well, I think, well, he's got to be fit first, but and I
I
think he
know,
will get
I
in the
know.
squad. But one player who's not going to be in the squad out of choice is Ben White. Now,
Oh, yeah.
I've done some reading on this,
Mm.
and I think it's twofold. I think it's A, he did have a run-in with Steve Holland, no matter what Southgate says. There's way too many witnesses, way too many players have said to journalists, off the record, it happened, I was there. I think it's partly that. And it's also part, and by the way, the issue was Ben White was asked a question in a meeting by Steve Holland about Arsenal that he couldn't answer. Holland pushed him on it, and White said, I don't know. And Kyle Walker was asked the same question about Man City, and Kyle Walker was able to answer the question immediately. And Ben White felt that, he was basically made to look like a bit of a twat. Ben White, he famously doesn't watch much football, so maybe this was why he couldn't answer the particular question. I don't know what the question was. But
Yeah.
also, Ben White's parents go to every game. His mum goes to every away game. He clearly has a very strong bond with his family. He's still quite a young guy, and as somebody again, he has said a number of times, when he first got picked for England, it was like, what a dream and all the rest of it. A lot of people are drawing a correlation that he doesn't want to play for England because he's not that bothered about football. I don't think that's the case either. I think the case is he goes stir crazy. He doesn't want to be away in the England squad, not playing, not looking likely to play unless somebody gets injured or gets a token appearance in a game that doesn't matter. And it's not enough for him. I think basically the cons outweigh the pros, but also clearly a communication breakdown because, Southgate has had to back Holland. So therefore, Ben White has told Edu, sporting director at Arsenal, to contact the FA and say that Ben White doesn't want to be considered for selection, which clearly has come as a surprise to Southgate because it's been communicated in that way. Southgate prides himself on his relationship with his players. They did let him go home, and he went home from the last tournament, I think, because that clash with Holland got right under his skin. He was miserable anyway. He wasn't going to play. Fuck this, I'm out of here. And the longer it's gone on, the more he's thought, you know what? I can do without doing that this summer, really. I could
Fair
do with a
enough.
holiday,
Fair
and I
enough.
don't really want to play or listen to Steve Holland or be in one of his meetings. So yeah, fuck this for now. And he's a young enough lad to come back when there's a new regime in charge. So whether
Definitely. Yeah.
that's just my take on it, but I've done my research, and yeah, there you go.
Know
He was
most things
brilliant at
on
them.
this. On that, that sounds incredibly well
Yeah.
researched and authoritative, and I've got
Very,
nothing
very
to add.
thorough. Yeah.
It's not really what people want from this podcast, is it really?
Not really, no.
Apologies, listeners. But what I will say is that Ben White at Leeds in our championship season when we won the championship. He came in as a young guy who'd been out on loan at Shrewsbury the season before, and he replaced Pontus Janssen, a Swedish international, in our defence. And we all went, Jesus Christ, what is Bielsa doing? What is he doing? And as soon as he arrived, he was thrown into the under 21s from Arsenal. He was thrown straight in because that's Bielsa. Well, that's your age group. Haven't seen you in the flesh yet. Off you go, get in there. And partly because he wants to see how you're going to respond. Ben White says nothing, is the best player in two games, is brought into the squad, plays on the first day of the season, and plays every single game after that. He gets on really well with Calvin Phillips. He never moans. He never complains. He was a star off the pitch in the dressing room. He engaged with all of the community outreach programs, bearing in mind that it was a COVID season as well. and his numbers when all the players were sent Garmin watches and training equipment and to do all the work at home, because Bielsa basically studied every player during COVID and their numbers. Ben White's numbers went through the roof. He was in incredible shape. And there is a private joke that apparently Ben White doesn't watch football purely because Bielsa made him watch so much when he was at Leeds. He's watched enough for an entire career. He never complained about the one-to-one meetings, about the constant, picking over his data, nothing. He was a dream. We tried to buy him. We put in three bids to get him out of Brighton. Leeds fans launched a campaign on Twitter called Free Ben White, which was basically get him out of Brighton, and we couldn't. And we'd have loved to have him in the side. So, yeah, maybe I'm slightly biased, but the facts are what I could find
No,
out are facts.
and to be honest, this is for another conversation or show rather nearer the time with the Euros. He's not going to be missing much anyway because England ain't going to win it. So,
It's
yeah,
you
let's be
can you can
honest.
you oh look are you Nick you can never predict apparently.
Yeah, just did.
Yeah,
Fuck it. Fucking
I
Pickford, fucking Maguire, usual fucking, yeah, whatever.
It's a quarter final against France again. That's where we're heading.
So at best,
It well if
struggle
if
struggle to get out the group, my prediction.
I think we'll really struggle
It's
with
a tough
Tchouaméni in
group.
the team.
That's a t well, he's only one player. Anyway, as I said, that's for a
Yeah,
later show, nearer the time.
Europe's Golden Boot winner up front. Real Madrid sensation, being compared to Zidane already.
Yeah.
Declan Rice, one of the
Ooh,
highest
Bayer
performing
Leverkusen
midfielders in
gonna
the
win the
country.
Bundesliga though. Yeah. So whatever. He's the top scorer, but he's not winning the
This is another day. We just need him to score goals, Dave,
Bundesliga,
not to win a
is it?
championship
Anyway.
in Germany.
This is a teaser for the
This is the equivalent of when the
Euros.
full-time whistle goes and there's a scuffle on the touchline between two other players.
Yeah. No, two of the
And all
managers.
the
It's
cameras
just
are going, this is
cameras, of
more
course.
interesting than the game. This is slightly,
Yeah.
Dave, suddenly the meds have kicked in and Dave's gone.
The
Well,
Mets.
speaking of which, what do we think about the incident recently, if you have any thoughts on it, of Emma Hayes pushing an opposition male manager and then saying that she didn't want any male aggression on the touchline, because
Double standards.
she has been called out on this by a few female players,
Yeah.
and I wish I knew the name of the female player now pundit who I heard being interviewed the day after it happened, and she said I'm really uncomfortable with what she said. And I think it's, she said, there's lots of men
Is
in
it
the
Karen
female
Carney?
game making
Karen
it
Carney?
strong, no, making it stronger and making it better and contributing. And she said, I think it's needless. I think she said it in the heat of the
Yeah.
moment, straight after the game. And I'm not impressed. And I just thought it was a bit poor. I thought she let herself down there, especially
Yeah.
when she was talking about an incident that was in the game and it was multi-ball. And basically, her team, Chelsea, had said they did not want to play multi-ball. They wanted to play one ball. And they were losing, and it was the last few minutes. And the ball boy threw them a different ball to the one that had been kicked off, and they wanted to carry on. And the manager of the opposition went, hang on a minute here. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can't do that. We agreed this before the game. You can't change it now. You're losing. And that's where this all stems from.
Right.
So, yeah,
Yeah.
I just thought it was,
Double standards, yeah.
bit weird. Bit weird. Anywho, yes. Well, that's been quite the broadcast there. I hope you've enjoyed that, folks. That's enough. That's all from me. That's all from Dave Rothney.
Cheers. See you next time, and hopefully we'll
And try and sound less enthusiastic than Rother's, David.
Yeah. Well, let's see how it goes, eh?
There you go. That's the end. Go on. Go and listen to something worth listening to.